Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm positively back from Ocean City, just in time to watch football. Two football games this week, a lot of baseball games this week. But more than that, sort of some background here as we get ready for Pappas next week. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We gave some scratch-offs away. We were at Mako last Thursday and Friday, sitting down with both of our senators, both Senator Ben Cardin, as well as Chris Van Hollen, sat with us, Mayor Brandon Scott, many others. You can check it all out at the Audio Vault at Baltimore Positive and our podcast Audio Vault, and, of course, at AM 1570. Luke Jones joins us now, to discuss, things go wrong during training camp, and this is why you don't want your quarterback getting roughed around. This is why you don't want any roughhousing with visiting teams from Philadelphia. Luke joins us now. He's been out at Owings Mills and will be at both games this week. The Marlon Humphrey situation, this is not good. This is a bad WNST text brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst case scenario, but it's certainly not great, especially when we've been talking about corner being one of those positions where, depth is lacking and surefire things are lacking. The one sure thing you have in the secondary, and not the secondary, but the cornerback position specifically, is your three-time Pro Bowl cornerback, Marlon Humphrey, one of the best corners in the AFC. He's been that way for the last 5 or 6 years. And, whether he's playing on the outside, at times they've moved him inside to the nickel because they've had injuries with other guys. He's the guy you count on. And we've seen it, albeit not too much, but end of the 2021 season. We saw it in week two against Miami last year when Humphrey was a little banged up and suddenly Tua Tagovailoa's throwing the ball over the heads of the guys in the secondary, and we saw what the Dolphins did in the fourth quarter of that game. Long story short, things have not gone well for the Ravens defense when Marlon Humphrey is not out there. So when you find out this past week, that he's going to have foot surgery and has already had it and is going to miss the beginning of the season. Now, John Harbaugh says he's confident he's going to be back very early in the season. Look, he's not going to be there for week one. I'd be surprised if he's ready for week two, which is obviously a big trip to Cincinnati, knowing where we expect the Ravens and Bengals to be duking it out for the top of the AFC North this year. It's not great. But at the same time, with this foot issue, which is not a Liz Frank injury, so that's very good news in and of itself. But, whatever the issue is, whether, cracked metatarsal, whatever, people have speculated. The Ravens haven't said specifically. But you want to get it taken care of, and you don't want to rush him back. You want to have a healthy Marlon Humphrey for the rest of the season. So if that means he's not ready to week three, week four, week five, then so be it. You have to deal. And the good news is you look at the early slate of quarterbacks: Houston, rookie quarterback; Indianapolis, rookie quarterback. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with Joe Burrow and the Bengals in week two, but Joe Burrow has missed most of training camp with the calf issue. So he's not necessarily going to be at the top of his game when he's playing in week two. So, but you've got to think in the big picture, and that's what the Ravens did here. It was the kind of issue that Humphrey had that, one, he was practicing with it. I mean, he spoke to the media the day before he got checked out, and they determined that he was going to have surgery. So he was practicing with it, but as John Harbaugh alluded to, he could have tried to play with it, but it's one of those where it can get worse and probably would have gotten worse over the course of the season. And that's no good for a team that's leaning on him to be, along with Roquan Smith, their two best players, on the defensive side of the ball. So he's out. They bring in Ronald Darby, who is coming off of an ACL injury that he had in Denver last October. He's worked out for a number of teams this offseason. A number of teams elected not to sign him. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Ronald Darby's going to solve all their problems that they're going to have at that position, even though he has been a solid, above average starter when he's been healthy over the course of his career. But he's older and he's coming off of an ACL. So I think you have to be realistic there. I think the reality of where the Ravens stand with their defense without Marlon Humphrey, and we were talking about this even with Marlon Humphrey, is cornerback is a concern right now. And that's where you look at them going out and signing Jadeveon Clowney to hopefully that helps their pass rush. They're obviously leaning so heavily on Oweh and David Ajabo to really pick up the slack there. But I look at where they are in the middle of the defense. They gave Marcus Williams the contract that they did last year. They have Kyle Hamilton at safety. You're hoping your safeties are going to be a big plus for your defense, right? I mean, those resources are major that you invested there. And you have a $100 million middle linebacker in Roquan Smith. So they're leaning on their other stars on that defense, the other prominent players on that defense, to pick up the slack. And on the flip side, you need your offense, which has had tons of resources used to beef up this passing game. They might need to score a few more points early in the year when you don't have Humphrey out there and you have some questions about whoever's going to be lining up at corner at this point. So, it's not something that dramatically alters their season in the big picture sense, but it does, open the door for them to have a few more struggles early on. So that's just the reality. It's unfortunate, but it's not a Liz Frank. It's not some season altering kind of injury. As Harbaugh said, and we'll take his word for it, at least on this point, is they think with him getting this surgery, it cleans up the issue. He'll come back and it isn't something that's going to linger. And that's what you hope for, right? So that's why you don't want to rush him back. If he has to miss 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 games to start the year, you've got to deal with it because you want him to be right. You want him to be at his best for late October, November, December, January. So, you never want to deal with it, but as we've seen around the league, whether you're talking about teams that are playing their starters in the preseason, and there are still plenty of teams doing that, whether you're talking about guys that get hurt during training camp practices, it's part of the deal. You're going to have some guys that get hurt. And the Ravens, they've managed to avoid any big time season ending injuries through the first 3 weeks of camp. But, this is unfortunate, but it's not that season altering, season ending kind of variety of an injury where, you're just holding your breath. And that's why we're not seeing starters play. We didn't see it in Philadelphia. Not going to see it, over the remainder of the preseason schedule, other than, your fringe John Simpson types, guys that are trying to carve out a starting role. Other than that, it's going to be backups and rookies playing, and we've seen that, and that's where the Ravens stand on that on that issue right now. So it's definitely unfortunate, but you want to make sure Marlon Humphrey's right later in the season, and for him that meant getting this surgery, getting this foot right, and unfortunately the Ravens are going to have to figure it out. But they have plenty of players, they have plenty of talent in other areas of their roster that you hope you can make up for it for the time being.
Luke, I chatted with Delegate Carl Anderton, who's on the Eastern Shore. He's over in Wicomico County, cornbread. He and his buddies drive across the bridge for every game, right? So they come over, tailgate. He wants to be down there at 8:15. They leave the Eastern Shore at 5:45, every Sunday for games. And he and I got into it about the team and Lamar and expectations and the Orioles. We did a little sports turn in addition to the stadium and bonds and money and John Andrew. We did all that. But I said to him sort of flippantly in the conversation, because we were just getting at it, I was like, you know what, dude? I think the defense on this team might be better than the offense. And it was like, there's still one ball and there's six guys who think they're going to get it on offense. And I'm still unclear on the offensive side as far as what success would look like for them if they're going to throw the ball more often. I think the Roquan Smith thing is kind of genius in the part of Eric DaCosta to sort of import that kind of leader. And I know you've spoken to that leadership out on the field in Owens Mills and him playing on a crappy team and being a really special guy and a guy that they would have loved to have drafted. And now they have him. They have him in the prime of his career. He signed, sealed, delivered, all that. I had higher hopes for the defense in making bigger steps this year because I think there's a lot of hype on the offense. And I'm not trying to be a contrarian at all, but I'll believe the offense when I see it. I'll believe Lamar Jackson healthy for 18 games when I see it. I'll believe Bateman when I see it. I'll believe the running game in this way in the new offense when I see it. Because I'm not seeing it till Houston and maybe even the test drives they'll make against bad teams early in the year. But I really held out thought that second year with the coordinator, he's John's guy, they've got their players. Eric made a huge decision to import this leader into the defense and signed him. Lamar's contract be damned, all of that. I held out hope that the defense, I don't want to say special, but I thought they would be the better side of the ball. And that can sound outrageous with all the attention on the offense, but I think the defense has a – your words always with the lower floor, higher ceiling, whatever that one is. I think the defense has a better chance of not sucking.
Fair enough. I think it's a really interesting proposition. I think when you look at the offense, look, I'll say this, and this isn't even going off of what I've seen during training camp, because look, practices are practice, right? I can tell you so many guys that have looked great during training camp, teams that I thought looked great on one side of the ball or the other in training camp, and then...
And dude, like, after doing this 15 years, you're not some new to the rodeo where, like, you fall in love with gym shorts on August 10th. Like, that's just not who you are. I mean, you're the most skeptical skeptic about all of this crap in August, well, and you devote more time to it than anybody.
Well, it's just, I think you have so many examples over the years, guys that look great this time of year and then end up not being great. And on the flip side, I've used this example with you before. I can remember Mark Andrews, his first training camp. He didn't look very good. He looked slow. I think he was a little banged up. And I had my questions just how involved he was really going to be as a rookie. And we saw what he did as a rookie. And he was, by the end of the year, you know, looking like Mark Andrews that he became over the last few years, you know, multiple time Pro Bowl tight ends. So you never really know on that front. I'll say this with the offense, and look, Odell Beckham has looked very good. He's practiced way more than I thought he would this summer, Nestor. So I think that one is a credit to him. Two, it's a credit to the Ravens, at least so far, so good on that front. And he's looked good. You know, I don't know what that's going to mean. I'm not saying that's going to be the Beckham of 2014 with the Giants. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be a 1,300-yard receiver, but so far, so good. And he's played well. Zay Flowers, my goodness, everyone left and right in Baltimore and around the NFL is hyping up. He's got talent. He does. Believe me, I look at him and I say, he looks the part of someone that's going to help them. But again, until they kick it off for real, until they're game planning, until everyone's on the field and everyone's healthy and everyone's staying healthy, there is still some unknown. I'll say this, just on a very simplistic level with the offense. I do think they have a higher ceiling now than they did at any point under Greg Roman since the 2019 record-breaking season, because they are doing things differently and they're not in this stagnant position that they found themselves in over the last few years where you just felt like they need a higher ceiling on the passing side and Greg Roman's not the guy to do that. You know, he's never been that guy on the passing game side as a coordinator. So they have a higher ceiling. There's no doubt about that with the talent that they have added. However, what I will say, and this is where I'll compliment Greg Roman, and you just mentioned it talking about the running game, they were working from a position of having a very high floor. You know, they knew that they were a team that just about every week could run for 200 yards. And you're going to beat a lot of teams playing that kind of style now
and not screwing up. Not they
sure.
I'll
sure.
Tell you what, Luke, over 5 years, and I haven't said this in 8 months, I thought that kicking the ball around and sleight of hand, and you and I've talked about this going back to Mark Ingram, right? Like that the ball would wind up getting fumbled more often than you want it to be. And that has not been, and they have not been a fumble team. They have not been an interception team. They haven't been an interception team because they don't throw a lot of passes. So, I mean, and Lamar is safe with the football. Lamar is a really safe, he takes care of the football. That is I'll put that in there overall from the beginning, that is the kiss of death if the ball starts getting, it starts hitting the ground.
Sure. No question about it. So the point is when you are opening things up and you're going to be spreading out more, you're going to be throwing the ball more than you have in the past. And again, I'll continue to say, I don't think that means they're going to be a pass heavy team, but they're going to be more aggressive. There's no question about that. So inherently, whether you're talking about Lamar Jackson, whether you're talking about games where Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball more than he normally does, even. Yeah. Inherently, you're going to have a little more risk for interceptions and turning the ball over. So, you know, my global point here, which I think is in line with what you're saying, is I absolutely believe and feel that this offense has a higher ceiling because of, I think they are going to throw the ball better than they have in the past. They're certainly going to throw it more than they have in the past. But that also, what comes with that is the unknown of, are you taking care of the ball quite as well? Do you have a little bit of a lower floor? Is a Todd Monken running game not going to be quite as dynamic as a Greg Roman running game if we're strictly talking about the rushing side of things. Now, granted, Lamar Jackson is still there. Whether he's going to take off or whether it's just a threat of him potentially taking off, that will continue to give their running game an advantage against opponents because so few other quarterbacks in this league, other than Justin Fields and a couple others, have a situation where the defense truly has to play 11 on 11 football. Because you know Lamar, whether he's going to as often as not or as often as he has in the past, he's still the threat to take off on any play and can take it to the house. But yeah, they're going to have a higher ceiling, but there probably is a little bit of a lower floor, especially early in the season as they're trying to figure out how all these parts work, how it's going to gel, all of those different factors. So, on the flip side, as you mentioned with the defense, there's something to that. However, I'll continue to say, even though, yes, I like the Ronald Darby addition, I like the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, especially considering both of these guys they're not dramatic financial commitments that are going to drastically alter your salary cap. I mean, they're one-year deals. They're one-year deals with incentives. I mean, that's just where they are right now with these two. But we're talking about your secondary and specifically outside corner, and we're talking about your pass rush. Pretty important elements to a defense. So that's where you do look at this, and I get your point. But what I'll say without Marlon Humphrey, especially here early in the season, I want the offense to be better than the defense in that because I think it's going to be tough for the defense to play its absolute best football when you're without Humphrey. I mean, he's a $20 million player. I mean, if it's not a big deal that he's not out there, then that's when you start to say, well, why are you paying him all that money? I mean, next man up applies for average starters and guys of that nature, but you're not replacing Marlon Humphrey. So that's where I think there is a little more pressure on this offense early on to maybe be really good or great sooner rather than later, especially when you look at that week two trip to Cincinnati now, where you're not going to have Marlon Humphrey out there most likely. Is Rock Ya-Sin and Ronald Darby and Brandon Stevens, are they going to be up to the task of
Ravens got
slowing
to be a
those Bengals
4-point dog
receivers?
already, right? In Cincinnati week two, right?
I mean, they're going to be a dog anyway. I mean, even with Marlon Humphrey. And that's not, look, you tell me right now they go to Cincinnati and win. I'm not going to be shocked or anything like that, but that's going to be a tough
It'll
matchup.
tell you that they're better than you think they are.
I mean,
And you
it's
think
just,
they're good.
I think they're good. I think this is going to be a good, and I think it has a great chance to be a really good football team. I've already said, I said this to you months ago. My expectation for them is they're playing divisional round weekend, and then after that, we'll see. I mean, that's what more can you ask for than that? But with Humphrey being out, I think there probably is a little more pressure on the offense early to maybe find that higher ceiling a little bit earlier than you would have expected. Knowing that you have so many players on your defense, Humphrey, your safeties, inside linebacker, you're hoping Ajabo and Adafe Owe take a step forward. But there's still some unknown there with the pass rush, and especially now at corner, which we were talking about a little bit anyway, but especially now. So, that's where you look at this and say, to win week two, you're going to need your big boy offense to show up against the Bengals because, is Mike McDonald's unit going to be able to hold the Bengals to 17 or 20 points without Marlon Humphrey? That might be that's going to be a big ask, I think, especially early in the season. So, not saying this to be doom and gloom or to panic. I think it's just the reality of where they are when they're going to be missing either their best or along with Roquan Smith, one of their two best players on the defensive side of the football. I mean, it's a big loss for the time being. Good news is you're going to have them back by October, I would assume. So, it's just where they stand. And hey, you have a 250 million plus quarterback, $260 million quarterback. You spent $15 million on Odell Beckham. You have two first-round picks at the wide receiver position in Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman. You have an all-pro tight end still in Mark Andrews. You have four of your five starters on the offensive line returning from last year. You have Todd Monken, who you're really excited about and is going to, run more 11 personnel, and they're going to spread out the field and force a defense to defend every blade of grass. Why can't the offense step up? With the defense missing one of its top players early on. So, I think the expectation needs to be there that, yeah, especially, they'll be okay against Houston. They'll be fine against Houston. They'll be fine against Indianapolis in week three. They'll probably be, they might be fine against going to Cleveland in week 4. Who knows with what Deshaun Watson's going to look like this year, after not looking very good last year in his suspended abbreviated season. But talking week 2, knowing what were, our expectations of this being Bengals and Ravens neck and neck in the AFC North, as it's been the last couple years, well, you're going to need your offense to put on its big boy pants for week 2. And that's okay to feel that way, given the expectations they have, but acknowledging what you said and what I just laid out, that, is that all going to gel as quickly as you want it to? And that's a fair question, at least as it pertains to playing the Bengals so early in the season.
Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills all week. It is a short week between games, weird games, backups. We'll see how it goes. Second string quarterback, third string quarterback, all that happening. J.K. Dobbins, somebody's going to have to run the ball in these preseason games to run out the string here and getting him onto the field. And I hear JT the Brick screaming about get Josh Jacobs on the field out in Las Vegas. Several teams have this issue right now having, oh, you're my running back. Welcome to camp. Nice to see you. It's the end of August. Where you been? But this is the time that we would say, all right, it's a ramp up. We're 2 weeks out on the real thing. Thoughts on Dobbins, thoughts on the offense and what you're seeing on those backfields that we're not seeing.
Yeah, I think from a football standpoint, with Dobbins having returned, what was it, August 14th, I think was his first day on the practice field, which, by the way, was exactly what I forecasted as far as how I saw this playing out. He ended up, ultimately, he mitigated a couple weeks worth of practice injury risk, early training camp injury risk, and he felt that that was the right play for him. We can debate whether that did anything for him contractually, and it didn't. He didn't get his deal, and he wasn't going to get his deal by doing that. It was all always going to come down to him having his best possible season, that he's going to get paid by the Ravens or one of the 31 other teams next March. I mean, that's just how it works. He needs to have a great season. And to his credit, he comes in, he's going to, when it's all said and done, assuming he stays healthy, he's going to have 4 weeks of practice prior to kickoff against the Texans on September 10th. So he gives himself plenty of time. He looks like he's in good shape. They ramped up his activity this past week. He's not going to play in the preseason, just like none of their key starters are playing in the preseason. It's just the way they're approaching it now. Maybe it'll change if, the next subpar season they have, they'll probably go back to playing their starters. I mean, that's how this kind of stuff works. It's funny to see, Andy Reid plays Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs starters, but the Ravens, and there are other teams around the league. We talked about this with the Rams the last few years. They didn't play their starters and they won a Super Bowl a couple years ago. So, it's one of those things that I think we probably put a little too much stock into it, but it is a new offense. I think there is at least an argument to be made about the unknown and not putting these guys out there for a live game setting. I'm okay with it. I have no problem with them not playing in the preseason, but it leaves a little more unknown. But as it pertains to Dobbins, whatever fallout is there from a business standpoint in terms of how he feels, how the organization feels toward him, as it pertains to football, I think it's water under the bridge from a football standpoint, because I think he's in shape, assuming he doesn't suffer an injury, which, by the way, he could have suffered on July 28th. If he gets injured, it's football. You get hurt. That's just kind of how this works. But he appears to be in good shape. He's going to be their lead back. I am intrigued to see what J.K. Dobbins looks like in a Todd Monken offense, which I think we're going to see more throws to the backs. Certainly going to see more runs from 11 personnel, which I think is something that can be advantageous with a lighter run box, going up against. So I think Dobbins is going to have a really strong year. How much are they going to ride him? Well, we asked that same question under Greg Roman. So I think, you still have other backs, Gus Edwards. I think they like Justice Hill a little bit. I think you might see him involved in a third down capacity from time to time as to give Dobbins a rest every three series, something like that. So we'll see how that plays out. But as it pertains to Dobbins, he looks like J.K. Dobbins out there. He's looked healthy. I haven't seen him do a ton of full team stuff just yet because they are still ramping him up. So, I don't want to make too much of an assumption there, but what we've seen to this point, I don't think his little hold in, you know, him missing the first 3 weeks of camp, roughly, he gave himself plenty of time. You know, if he had come in and hadn't started practicing until September 3rd, then I think this would be a different discussion. I think then you'd be asking, you know, is he really far behind? Does he know the offense? Is he going to be in football shape? He's given himself enough time here, and this has played out about how I thought it would. Wasn't going to be a long-term contract now, but he's back on the field, and
Well, it's
for
a
my football.
non-story now after being a story. The story now is, are you going to run the ball and how well are you going to run it?
Exactly. And by the way, that was still going to be the story for him anyway, whether he started practicing on August 14th or whether it was going to be September 28th. There was going to be nothing he did over the first 3 weeks of practice that was going to change his fate as it pertained to getting the big, lucrative, long-term deal that he seeks. Which, by the way, who knows if he's going to get it from anyone, even if he has a great year, because that's just the reality of the position right now. But as we said, and I respect this to a point, but also I understand there are ramifications for this from how the organization feels, how his teammates feel, who knows? But from a football standpoint, him mitigating his early training camp injury risk, you know, he was able to accomplish that. And he's back on the field and he's got plenty of time still to get ready. And we're not going to see him in the preseason games, just like we're not going to see any of the notable starters, but he has kept himself in good shape. And however this season's going to play out for him, you know, I think he's going to be ready to maximize whatever he can do. And the key for that is, you know, we've seen J.K. Dobbins play at a high level. He's played at a high level in his, you know, whenever he's been on the field, he's been that good for the Ravens, other than early last year before he ended up getting the knee scoped. You know, he's been a guy who's averaged close to 6 yards a carry. I mean, I don't need to tell you that's really darn good. But the big question for him is, can you do that for 17 games? Can you do that for at least 15 or 16 games, let's say? And more importantly for him, and more importantly for the Ravens, can you do that come January, which is really when you can make your money if you're looking like one of the best running backs in the NFL? And Dobbins feels he is that. And I think the Ravens feel he has the potential to be that, but he's got to go out and do it if he's going to get paid either here in Baltimore or elsewhere in the NFL.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He's going to be in Owings Mills all week, as well as up late with them O's. 30 games over 500. Blue Jays in town. The Rockies, the lowly Rockies, coming to town before the lowly Chicago White Sox. It feels fun to be like, you tweeted that on such winning's fun. Baseball's fun. Football's on the back burner until Marlon Humphrey gets hurt. We got football 2 weeks out. We got football on the brain, baseball on the brain. I was at Mako last week in Ocean City with many of the electeds here in Maryland, including our Governor Wes Moore and Lieutenant Governor Runa Miller. Had Ben Cardin as well as Chris Van Hollen and Mayor Brandon Scott on next week. Next Tuesday, the 29th, we'll be at Pappas in Glen Burnie with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. Getting ready for the kids going back to school, getting ready for football, and getting ready for October baseball. Wow, get the bunting out. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking fake football, at least until the real stuff begins. Stay with us.